Don't we all dig bebop bebop? How you doing, my little glowworms? It's time for the saxophone. Hello, my beautiful Tropicanas. Welcome to the Ricardo Project, the podcast where I watch through I Love Lucy episode by episode and talk about its historical, comedic, and emotional impact. My name is Dana, and I'm so glad that you've joined me today for The Saxophone, which premiered 70 years ago today on September 22nd. Is today the 22nd? Let's say it is. 1952. Before we get into the episode, I just want to take a moment to thank everyone who reached out to me and welcomed me back after the summer hiatus with last week's episode. I really, really appreciate it. And I'd like to especially shout out two particular listeners. First, I'd like to send a big thank you to Catherine, who reached out to me after I asked if anyone could find the TV Guide article ranking the top most memorable moments in television where the chocolate factory scene was ranked number two to tell me what was number one. It was the moon landing. Thank you, Catherine, for finding that. And, you know, I'll allow it. The moon landing definitely makes sense. And then secondly, I'd just like to send a big hello to Fran and her grandmother. Fran reached out to me via Instagram with a very lovely message, and she said that she and her grandmother listened to the podcast, so I just wanted to say hi. Thank you so much for being here. It really means a lot to me. Also, if my voice sounds weird, I really do apologize. My baby is in some sort of a sleep regression right now, and it's making me have this, like, really raspy thing going on. I'd like to imagine that I sound like Lauren Bacall, but I won't know until I listen back. But just in my headphones right now, I sound strange. Okay, here we go. So we open and Lucy is in the attic. Always exciting to have a new place, especially one in the building, adds to the lore. She is clearing out a trunk to use for a tour that Ricky is about to go on. And Ethel is expressing surprise that Lucy's planning on going with Ricky for the tour. But it turns out that she might not be, because Ricky hasn't even asked her to join. Lucy's just convinced that he will. And she goes through all these really cute memories until she ends up on a saxophone, which she played in high school. And she plays a little something for Ethel, and it's terrible. She's awful at the saxophone. In like the first 2 minutes of the episode, we see that she is horrible. She only knows how to play a song called Glowworm, and she does not play it well. Like, just to be clear, it sounds nothing like it. I've actually linked in the show notes a real rendition of Glowworm, just so you can hear how far her saxophone has strayed from the original. But it turns out that she never really learned how to play it super well. She just needed to get into the audition because she was really just faking knowing how to play so she could follow her football player boyfriend from town to town, which is very clever. Clearly, Lucy's always been wily. So later, back at the apartment, Ricky is upset because things for the tour aren't going well. He asks Lucy to take care of something when he's on the road, and she says that she's planning on being on the road with him, and Ricky immediately shuts that down, saying that 3 weeks on the road is just going to be too tough on her. And Lucy complains that she doesn't want to be home alone for that long, but, like, to be honest, 3 weeks in my house alone, it sounds like heaven. I don't know what her problem is. That sounds amazing. I would never wear pants. Maybe just have snacks for dinner. Like, I would watch so much TV. I'd be so happy. But that's not a very interesting episode of television. Ricky shuts the conversation down because he's got to find a saxophone player. How about that? Lucy rushes to get her saxophone and she begins her horrifying rendition of Glowworm, which leads Ricky to, like, jump a mile in his seat. It's very funny. Ricky says no. She wouldn't fit in because she's not one of the boys. She's not a musician. But, of course, this is Lucy Ricardo. That's not going to work for her. So the next day, she's practicing her scales. Even that is terrible, which I don't even understand how that could possibly be so bad. But there you go. Fred comes up to investigate the horrific noise. And Lucy asks him to teach her how to be one of the boys, how to act like a musician, because Fred spent a lot of time with musicians when he was in vaudeville. Which is, you know, again, as a reminder, 30 years prior. So Fred begins to impart his wisdom, saying she has to talk and dress a certain way. And lordy lord, she does. At the Tropicana, the band is rehearsing, and Lucy comes in. I wish I could describe this scene in a way that does it justice, but I'll do my best. She comes in this oversized suit, and she's, like, spinning a chain, and she's talking in this insane way. She's calling people man and dad and cats, and she's screaming that she's wild when she blows, and she's gonna play Happening Glowworm, bebop, bebop, bebop. Everyone is just cackling in stitches except Ricky, obviously, because he is the biggest party pooper of all time. At the band's insistence, Ricky gives her a tryout, and she starts to play the music in front of her, but she's obviously just pretending to play, like she's bouncing up and down and really doing a great job. And when it comes time for the solo in the audition, she just goes right into Glowworm. And the band thinks this is charming and hilarious, and honestly, she fits in fine. She shouldn't play an instrument ever, but they all like her, and that's really adorable and honestly shows me that they would have easily had a nice time on the tour with her. But of course, Ricky rejects her, and he tells her to stay home like a good little girl, which is disgusting and condescending, and I hated it so much, it made my skin crawl. And I feel like, at least with the last episode and this one, they've really ratcheted up the condescension in this season, at least with the husbands, as far as, like, the setup for the episode goes. Luckily, Lucy has other plans, and she's not going to let that stop her. So she borrows Fred's hat and gloves from Ethel to try to trick Ricky into thinking that she has a lover. It's such a stupid plan. It's so obviously not going to go well, but whatever. And then the ladies joke about how Ricky might kill her, which, yikes. So Ricky comes home, and Lucy actually does a really good job pretending to be flustered that he's home early. And Ricky doesn't even notice the hat until Lucy basically throws it at him. But then he immediately falls for it, and he becomes suspicious, and he starts looking for the mystery man. And Lucy has this really great moment where she tricks Ricky into checking the bedroom for the guy, and then she strategically slams all these doors and makes a running sound to make it sound like her boyfriend was hiding in the hall closet and then ran out the door. It's very good, and if I was trying to scheme on my husband, I would copy this. So they start to fight. The Mertzes come up. Lucy storms out, ending her Oscar-worthy performance. And Fred stays behind to talk to Ricky, but, like, immediately he recognizes his hat and he asks why it's in their apartment. And Ricky figures all of this out very fast. And he decides that he's going to get back at her, because of course he does. He calls a friend and he ominously asks for 3 or 4 guys to come to the house. That's all we know. Later, Ricky is faking depression, and Lucy actually feels really guilty, and Ricky laments that his happy home has turned asunder, which was a very cute moment. Almost undoes the condescension from earlier, and I say almost because he's not Fred Mertz, which would have really turned this around, because we all know that if Fred Mertz does something, it's 10 times cuter than if Ricky does it. Lucy immediately confesses the trick. She shows how she slammed the doors, but when she goes to demonstrate that and opens the closet door, she screams because there's a man there that Ricky has stashed. And one by one, because there's, like, again, 3 or 4 of them, they all come out and pretend to be different boyfriends of hers. She keeps opening the closet door and screaming every time there's a new man there. It's very funny, even if it is a totally dirty trick. And once all 4 guys are out, Lucy just runs away and they all follow her. So then we get, like, a little tag to end the episode, which is that Ricky is so nervous because Lucy's been gone for hours. And suddenly the phone rings and it's his friend, Julian, who we saw earlier, apologizing because he couldn't find anyone to come over to the apartment, which immediately makes Ricky think that all 4 of those men were real boyfriends of Lucy's. And he screams and runs out the door, and we immediately cut to Lucy laughing and shaking Julian's hand. And that's the end of the episode. So what did we think? To be fully honest, I completely forgot about the second half of this episode. I only remembered the incredible scene where Lucy heads to the Tropicana to, you know, play act as a musician, which, if I'm honest, is one of my top 10 Lucy scenes. I love it. She's so happy during it. She's so hopeful while she's being a complete fool. I love how much the band members enjoy it. I've linked the scene in the show notes because you really should watch it. It's very delightful. And I really, really love how much Lucille Ball has always leans into these like characters that she has to play. You know, it's like when she does Slowly I Turned, she just does it 110%, even though she can tell that it's not going well. She's like, this is the character, I've committed to it. It's great. And, you know, if she committed to it 5% less, I don't know if it would work. It's like she is so fully in, and that's why these things are so great. You know, if I were teaching a class on like commitment in comedy or just like playing your objective, I would play this scene and be like, look at how much she is committed, even though it's ridiculous and silly. Just a really great scene. But then there's this whole other section of the episode. And I'll be honest, I kind of flip-flop on whether I like it or not. I think ultimately I do, but like, here's why I waffled. I mean, you kind of probably already know this, but like, I am not sure how I felt about these jokes that Ethel and Lucy were making about how Ricky would get mad and Ethel may have to come save Lucy's life. And I totally get that I might be just ridiculously sensitive. Also, full disclosure, I say colloquialisms like I'm going to kill you when I'm really annoyed about something all the time. But I and the people I talk to know that I'm not actually threatening them with violence. But like, we've seen Ricky lose his temper, and I have this memory of a scene that we haven't gotten to yet where Ricky will play Babalu on Lucy as punishment for embarrassing him at the Tropicana, like in front of the whole audience at the Tropicana. And it's played off well in that scene. Like Desi is so charming and likable. I don't think that you ever feel like their relationship is abusive. It's just like teetering on it. And I don't know. It just makes me feel weird. I just don't like when they bring this in. And this is a cultural thing. And when I say cultural, I don't mean anything related to the background of the characters or the actors. I mean the culture of the 1950s and what was considered funny then compared to the culture of 2022. In the 50s, there was a show called The Honeymooners, where the catchphrase of the lead character was, "You're going to the moon, Alice," which meant he was going to punch his wife so hard that her body would fly to the moon. I mean, and this was like a very popular show. So it really is just a different time. And I think the show is usually so great about having more timeless comedy. This is just one of those like few threads that I just think hasn't aged well, and it makes me kind of uncomfy. But all of that said, I do think that the back end of this episode has a lot going for it. I love watching Lucy fake Ricky out. I think the scene where Ricky has the guys stashed in the closet and she keeps opening it and screaming is super funny. And we do see a more important shift in the dynamic between the two when Lucy upends Ricky's prank and gets the last laugh. Like, in season one, I often had issue with episodes where Lucy was tricked by Ricky. Like, to be honest, I could go into a bunch of philosophical reasonings, but the reality is that it's just not fun. Like, it's not fun for Lucy to get punished and feel bad and be scared or whatever Ricky does. Like in the Adagio, where he tricks her into thinking he's been shot because she wanted to learn how to dance and that guy started hitting on her. Or in Lucy Fakes Illness, where he convinces her she's dying. Like, we see the start to turn in the publicity agent, where Lucy kind of tricks the boys after they think they've won. But then in the publicity agent, aka if an episode of television could be my actual nemesis, we kind of revert to Ricky outsmarting Lucy and making her think she's about to be tortured or even murdered because she had the audacity to try to get him publicity in the newspapers. Basically, I guess what I'm saying is that season one, Ricky was overzealous, and he overcorrected in ways that were wholly unpleasant. And he is not good at pranks. So it's very welcome that it feels like we're settling into the dynamic that I think of when I think of the series, which is that no matter how far ahead Ricky thinks he is, Lucy is always one step further ahead. To me, that's a welcome dynamic, and it adds to the longevity of the show, because rather than watching a husband punish his wife, we see more of a cat and mouse back and forth. I don't know why I'm thinking Tom and Jerry, but like we see this thing where the person with objectively less powers is coming out on top, which is just, it's always more fun to have this, like, you know, the smaller person in whatever way you want to think of that. You know, thinking of like Tom and Jerry, right? Like there's a cat and there's a mouse, and it's much more fun when the mouse outsmarts the cat. And I think in this case, Lucy as the wife, you know, the kind of harebrained scheme wife, is the mouse. And so I'm glad that we're settling into this dynamic where, you know, it doesn't really matter what Ricky thinks because Lucy will always beat him. So yeah, holy, I really enjoyed this episode, ickiness and all. I mean, I think it's just one of those things that I'm going to have to get over, this idea that like Ricky is violent, because clearly Lucy doesn't feel unsafe in her relationship, right? Like there's no, like, I'm not worried about Lucy in any way. It just makes me feel kind of weird. And I'll have to get over that because it's going to come up multiple times in the series, and the series is still really, really great. So let's move on to some historical notes. So at the beginning, Lucy talks about growing up in Celeron, New York, which is where Lucille Ball grew up. I've been there. It's lovely. She also finds a fish trophy, and that's from Lake Chautauqua, which is a lovely lake that I have also been to. And Celeron is located there. Lake Chautauqua is a beautiful place to vacation if you are anywhere near the New York area. It's a lovely place to spend a week in the summer. And then my only other real historical note is that Lucy actually did play the saxophone, like, when she was younger. And when the writers found out about that, that's why they wrote this episode, because they wanted to write it in. So she kind of picked it back up, and she practiced Glowworm so much that she actually almost played it too well. And she had to purposefully play it less well. She had to purposefully play the wrong notes in order to kind of keep up the illusion that she was really, really bad at it, which is probably the most Lucille Ball anecdote I've ever heard, that she was such a perfectionist that she got too good at the things she was supposed to be failing at, which is actually, I mean, just from a larger perspective, like pratfalls and whatnot, I mean, you practice those so many times that you could do it in your sleep, right? Like, part of comedy is deliberately, intentionally messing up something that you're very good at. It's not actually about being bad at the thing. It's about being so good that you can manipulate it into being bad, or whatever version of that you want to think of. But if you can't actually do the thing, then you trying to do it and failing is dangerous and not funny. It's when you can kind of misstep. The Marx Brothers were really good at this. They were really, really good at having complete control over a space and then manipulating it into bad, you know, manipulating it into chaos. So I like that little moment. I think it's a good encapsulation of what makes comedy successful. So next week we'll be watching The Anniversary Present, aka The Return of Grace Foster from Gossip. Or actually, no, the premiere of Grace Foster. She's just an off-screen character in that. Anyway, the point is, we're watching The Anniversary Present, which is Ricky asks a neighbor, Grace Foster, to help him surprise Lucy with an anniversary present of real pearls. But Lucy soon suspects that Ricky is seeing another woman. And that's it for this week. If you'd like to get in touch for any reason whatsoever, I would absolutely love to hear from you. You can reach me on Instagram at The Ricardo Project, on Twitter at Ricardo_Project, by email at TheRicardoProject@gmail.com. If you'd like to support the podcast financially, there's a link to make a one-time donation via PayPal in the show notes. I am potentially working on a Patreon. If you are interested in a Patreon, please let me know. Obviously, I would make it worth your while with bonus episodes and other content. But please let me know if that's something that you're interested in. I certainly want you to feel like you are getting the most out of your time here. And I certainly wouldn't want anyone to pay for something that they didn't feel was valuable. If you would like to support the podcast and you're in the market for some books, there's also a link to my bookshop shop, which has a bunch of lists of books that I've read, both for I Love Lucy and for other pop culture things. If you buy any of the books that are in that shop, you get the book, and I get a small percentage of the sales, which is a great way for you to get something and for the podcast to be supported at the same time. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating and reviewing the podcast, telling a friend about it, sharing on social media, yada, yada, yada. You get it. But most of all, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. It means more to me than you know. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will be back next Thursday with The Anniversary Present.